Again, I'd like to thank you this morning, as always, for being here in the house of God. And this responsive reading goes right along with the message today. I didn't know what the responsive reading was. I never do until I get here to church and I know what's... I hadn't even looked on the back of the bulletin. I just now flipped it over and I started going along with it. And you know, it's funny how God works. It's funny how God operates. And there's no reason this morning, church family, to try to figure out how God does everything. We shouldn't even question what God does or how He does it. We should just go along with it and be happy and grateful that God is doing work in our lives, in our hearts every day. And listen, believe it or not, God is doing a work in your heart every day. Amen? He's doing a work in your life every day. If you're a child of God this morning, then God is doing a work in your heart, a work in your life. You may not recognize it. You may not even like it. But you got to do it. Amen? Now listen, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, this is over in the book of Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to start right there. And we're going to be in Exodus pretty much throughout the service this morning. But this is I like this story of Moses and the burning bush. And I've read it many times. And it's a very good story. And I believe that you'll be blessed this morning that you got up and came to church today. And I'll say, you said that last Sunday. You said that 6 months ago. Well, if you're not blessed that you got up and came to church this morning, then I don't know how God can bless you. I'm always blessed to be here in the house of God. I'm always blessed to be able, because I think it's amazing that God would speak His word through someone like me, just a servant. That's all I am. I'm a servant of God. I'm nobody special this morning, except in the eyes of God. I'm very special. We're all very special in the eyes of God. The world may not see you as special this morning, but God does. Amen? God sees you as very special. Now, as we read this morning here in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, it says here in Exodus that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And then in verse 4 it says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And then in verse 5 it says, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and I'm just going to skip on down because there's a lot of ites there. And it goes on down in verse 9 and says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. But then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked for me, and they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And then in verse 14 it says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And in verse 15 it says, and God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, once again this morning, we are astounded by your word. We are fascinated by your word. God, we desire your word this morning in our hearts. God, we pray that you would apply this word, this message to our heart today, God. Lord, hide me behind the cross today, Heavenly Father, in this hour. And Lord, let me not interfere with what you would have said. God, let me take no glory for myself, but Lord, let me lift up you, your name. Let me lift up your holy name today, Heavenly Father. Lord, let me give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve. And Lord, let hearts and lives be touched and change forever from this moment forward, Lord, on thus saith the word of God. And we ask all of this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, church family, I don't know if you saw my post this week on Facebook, but I saw this post of these two little girls. One, they were sitting at this tall, up on the top of a blacktop driveway, and they had wrote out, like most kids do in the summer, they take that chalk, that old paint chalk, and they wrote all the way down that drive in big letters, we got to give God back this world. And I believe that this morning, we got to give God back His world. This is God's world. This is not my world. This is not your world. It's God's world. He created this world. And we got to give God back this world. We got to stop pushing God out. We got to start letting God come back in. We got to start letting God take control. We got to start letting God have His way. And we got to decrease and let God increase. And that's what the problem is right now. We are too busy increasing ourselves. And we need to step back. We need to step down. And we need to step out of the way and let God take over. We need to let God control. We need to let God make the decisions. We need to let God guide. We need to let God counsel. We need to let God do the work that He intends for Him to do through us. And listen, I know this morning, man, what's wrong with the preacher? Is he mad? No, I'm not mad. But listen, take a look around your world today. Listen, there's a lot going on in the world today. And that's because God is not in control today. Everybody wants to be in control of something. Everybody wants to be in high positions. Everybody wants that great position. But God has the great position. He is the great healer. He is the great physician. And the only way to heal those that are sick out in this land is to let God have His way in their hearts. Amen? Do you agree with that this morning? Now, if you don't like what I'm saying this morning, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. That's what I said. Man, that preacher, man, he don't even know what he's talking about. Well, you know what? You're right. Half the time, I don't know what I'm talking about because it ain't coming from me. It's coming from God. And that's what I tell people. Hey, if you got a problem with me, take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. You know what? I do a lot of things during the week that I waste time on. You know what? When a situation comes up in my life, I want to handle it. I don't want God handling it. There's people out in the world today say, we don't need the church. We don't need ministers telling us what to do. Well, guess what? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what I think you should do. I'm telling you what thus saith the Word of God says you should do. And that's up to you if you follow it or not. If you think it's just silly. If you think it's a fairy tale. Listen, Moses, now I want to get to this burning bush thing. Moses was out doing his thing, taking care of the sheep, taking care of the flock. And just visualize, he sees this burning bush. He sees a burning bush, but yet the bush was not consumed by the fire. So he says, I'll go over there. And what a sight it must have been. What would you have done? Would you have went over there to take a look at it? I would have. I'm a curious person. If I'd have saw something like that, I would have went straight over there. Wally, I would have went right over there. I said, man, what is that over there? That's something weird going on over there. That's something unique. Why is that bush on fire, but it's not being consumed? I think I'll just go over and take a closer look at it. And so he did. And then God called him out of that burning bush. God, it says that Moses turned aside. Listen, when God uses unique things, God uses unique situations today to turn us aside, to get our attention. Amen? He uses unique things, situations, places to get our attention. God's got a way of getting your attention, whether you believe it or not. So Moses goes over, and it says in the Word of God, I just read to you, that God called him out. He called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. And then he says, don't come any closer. He also had to correct him. You know, for a man that was raised in a palace, he didn't know that he was standing on holy ground. He had to take off his sandals. I think today, church family, you might agree with me if what I'm about to say is that in the world today in which we live, we need a little more holiness. Amen? I just want to say that right now. I want to be bold enough to say we need a little more holiness of God right now. We need a little more recognizing that we own holy ground. And we need to recognize that God is the one that's holy this morning. We ain't the ones that's holy. God is the one that's holy. And we need to recognize, we need to take off our sandals and bow down to God and praise God and lift God up. Glorify God. And say, God, here I am. When God calls you and me, we need to say, God, here I am. He's calling us out. He's calling us out today. Just like he did back in the day of Moses. He called Moses out. But you know what Moses did? When God told him, he said, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one. I've called you out to lead these people. He said, I've looked down. Listen, you don't think God cares about your suffering this morning? He does. And how can I prove it to you? Because I just read it to you. He said, I've looked down. He said, I have come down. He said, because I have seen, I have heard the suffering of the Israelites. And I have come down to do something about it. I've called you out. And you're the one. You're going to go. You're going to go and lead these people out of slavery. You're going to go and lead these people out of bondage. You're going to go and lead these people to a land of milk and honey. Wow. What a glorious opportunity to serve the Lord, to commit to the Lord. But guess what Moses does? Like we do today. Oh, man, what am I supposed to say? God, I can't do that. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? But thus saith the Word of God. He says, don't worry. Listen, can I tell you something this morning? There's a lot of times I worry about things. You know, if I was preaching in another church, you know what I'm thinking about? Sometimes I get opportunities. I used to. I don't right now. And that's okay. But used to, before I ever got ordained, and I'd get a phone call, they said, Brother Phil, can you come and preach for us this Sunday? And man, I'd be Johnny on the spot. I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whoever I was talking to, I can do it. God's called me. I said, wherever you go, wherever you want me to go, God, I'll go. I made that promise to God. I made a vow. I didn't just promise God. I made a vow unto the Lord. Just like we all did when we became a Christian. We vowed to serve God. We didn't just promise Him. We vowed. And when you make a vow unto the Lord, that's very serious. Because God don't like no vow breakers. He holds you for that. You make a vow unto the Lord, it's thus till death do you part. You know, as minister, if we do weddings, it's till death do you part. That's the same way it is with God. When you make a vow unto the Lord, it's permanent. It ain't like, okay, I'm going to make a vow today and forget about it tomorrow and break it. But thus saith the Word of God. He says He cares about your sufferings. He cares about you. And He calls us out. He called Moses out of the burning bush to go out. But what am I to say? How am I supposed to? What if they don't believe me? Even the disciples of Jesus Christ, Jesus told him, He said, there's coming a day when you'll be persecuted and you'll be lifted up before men. He said, but don't worry. He said, do not worry about what to say. He said, because I'll be with you and I will put the words in your mouth to say. Listen, we don't got to worry about when you go out of the church house today and you are in front of God, put somebody in your path to witness to, because God's calling you to do a ministry. God's calling you to do a service for Him. You ain't got to worry about it, because God's going to put the words in your mouth to say. And they might, you know, the person you're talking to, they might not like to hear the words that God's got for you to tell them. But that's all right. All you got to do is plant the seed. Amen. And then if that seed, somebody else comes along and waters it. And next thing you know, repentance comes. And listen, I'm a firm believer today. They need to be more repentance in the world. They need to be more people turned aside. Listen, I read this week about what God, when God calls you out of something, He don't just call you out of something. He calls you also out of something into something. Amen? He calls, let me repeat you on that. Let me tell you that one more time in case you didn't hear it. God calls us out. What did He call you out of? He called me out of sin. He called me out of condemnation. He called me out of a life of eternity living in hell, a place not meant for me. And He called me unto a life of holiness. He called me unto a life of righteousness. He called me unto a life of eternal salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. That's what God did for me, and that's what God did for you. That's what He called you out of. That's what He called me out of. And that's why I tell you this morning, God turned me aside with that burning bush. Praise God. He called me aside. He didn't just call me. He got my attention. He called me out to a life of service, to a life of commitment, to a life of praising and worshiping God. And what a life it's been so far. If today was my last day on the earth, I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But you know, what a ride it's been. What a life it's been. What a conversion it's been. What a joy it's been to serve the Lord. Can you say that today, church family? Can you say what a joy it's been to serve the Lord? The moment, I can't stress enough this morning, the moment that you believed, you got turned aside and to a life of service unto the Lord. God loves you this morning. You know that? Y'all believe that this morning? I said y'all. Y'all believe that this morning? That's a southern slang. Y'all believe that this morning? God loves you. Even when the world don't. The world don't love nobody. Take a look around in the world today. These people don't love nobody. They don't love God, and they definitely don't love you. And I tell you, somebody else don't love you this morning. Satan don't love you. He definitely don't love me. He don't love me at all. He tries every turn. He tries every turn to get me to fall. But you know what? I ain't going to let him. I ain't going to let Satan make me fall. I ain't going to let him cause me to fall. There ain't enough of temptation to make me fall, because I know whose I belong to. And when you know who you belong to, you ain't going to fall. God ain't going to let you fall. God ain't going to let you be destroyed. God ain't going to let you be crushed. Is that some good word to you this morning, church family? Because you may want to hear this later on this week when some kind of persecution comes up against you, or a situation or a problem you just can't handle. God loves you that much. I'm a stubborn person. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. Man, I'm stubborn. I don't want to listen half the time. But you know, the Israelites were the same way. They were stubborn people too. But you know what they said? You know what the world's doing today? Just like they did back in the days of the Israelites. When Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. And guess what? They said when Aaron was left in charge down below. You know the story, Exodus. They said, well, he's not coming back. He must have died up there. Now, the Bible doesn't actually say that. But I'm paraphrasing. Well, he's not coming back. He's been up there a long time. What is he doing up there? He ain't coming back. But you know what we'll do? I know exactly what we'll do. They convinced Aaron. A man that God said, you know what? Moses kept complaining. He said, well, just take your brother with you. If you ain't a good speaker, just take your brother with you. And you and him can work together. But while Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron was left in charge. And those people, those Israelites, that were the same people that were praising and singing God's songs and hymns unto the Lord, you'll find them in the book of Psalms, because the whole book of Psalms is songs that the Israelites sang as they were led out of Egypt. Those are all songs that they give God the glory for, because God done a great work in their lives. But then when they got there to the place where Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and Aaron was in charge, they convinced Aaron, a man of God. They convinced Aaron, I don't know what we'll do. We'll make our own God. So Aaron ordered all the people to divvy up the gold, and they melted it down. And guess what they made? You know what they made? They made a cow. And they started worshiping it. And that's what's going on in America right now. We're worshiping everything but God. A lot of people are worshiping money, power, fame, whatever it is. They're worshiping that instead of God. That is their God. But I'm reminded of what Exodus 20 verse 3 says. God says, you shall have no other God before me. Because God's a jealous God, believe it or not. If you got other gods before Him, you might be in trouble. So you might want to take inventory. Say, I have to keep myself in check. I have to keep myself in check to see if God's right at the top of the list. God is number one. And then all else falls under it. Right now in America, we need to give God back to America. We need to give God back to the hearts of the people out in the world today. Listen, a lot of times we don't want to hear what God's got to say. We don't want to do what God tells us to do. But God's the great I Am this morning. He says, you shall call me the great I Am forever, for all generations. And guess who we're talking about this morning? We're talking about the great I Am. He's still the great I Am. Do you believe that this morning, church family? Do you think that God is still the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, great I Am? And He is able to do all things. He is able to do more than what we can possibly ever imagine. But we got to believe. We got to trust. Got to walk by faith, not by sight. I see what's going on out in the world. But do you think that's going to hinder my faith? It's not. I'm not going to let it dampen my faith. I'm not going to let it suppress my faith. I'm not sacrificing my faith in God, because I know who takes care of me. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You are not forsaken this morning. You know what? Isn't it good to know this morning? Let me say this. This has come up in my spirit. Isn't it good to know this morning that if the entire world forsakes you, forgets about you, that you never existed, if the entire world hates you, God will never. Amen? God will never forsake you. Now, Satan wants to convince you Satan wants to tell you, Satan wants you to believe that God will. But you know what you need to do there? You need to rebuke the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, you need to rebuke him and say, "Thus get behind me, Satan, because you are a defeated foe." And if you do that, claim your power. Use your power, your authority in Jesus Christ, and see what you can do spiritually. You'll grow. Man, you'll grow to heights that you've never reached before. You'll say, "Man, how am I able to do this?" Well, on your own, you're not able. But with God's help, you're able to do all things. With man, nothing is possible. But with God, what does the Bible say? With God, all things are possible. And how are they possible? Because when you think about God being the great I am, He's still the great I am today, just like He was back in the days of Moses. He's still the same God. And He'll be that same God tomorrow and until He comes back, until Christ comes back again. God will be that same God. And He will love you and me the same. It never changes. God's not a shifting shadow. He doesn't shift one way or the other. He loves you just as much the day you came into this world, and He'll love you just as much the day you leave this world. Amen. You believe that this morning, church family? And that's a double blessing. I think that's a double blessing to know that you've always got a friend in the Lord. Amen. Listen, you've always got a friend. No matter what. No matter what, how bad you mess up, you always got a friend in Jesus. Man, I'm almost break out into a song. You know, that's a good song, Kathy. All right, we're almost done. Are you getting anything this morning? Is the Lord talking to your heart this morning in any way? Listen, I'm going to close with this today. You know, Paul talks about, well, let me read this. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You don't have to turn there, not unless you want to. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, very familiar scripture, it reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face," it says here, "and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." You want to know what the key is to getting America and the world back on track? That scripture right there. We got to humble ourselves. We got to turn from our wicked and evil ways. We got to get rid of hatred in our hearts. We got to get rid of pride. We got to get rid of whatever is in there, it's not of God. We need to be teaching our children about God. We need to be teaching our grandchildren about God, our great-grandchildren about God. Do you know what I thought about this week? My grandmother. My grandmother served God. She was a servant of the Lord. She planted the seed way back when I was a little kid and I didn't even know it. Billy Graham, like I said, all she did was watch Billy Graham, hee-haw, and read the Bible. That's all we had. We didn't have 1,800 channels to surf through on satellite like we do today, which is nothing on but shopping channels that cause people to get in debt with credit cards. I don't know. If you shop off the networks, that's fine. But listen, I don't. I don't even like those channels. Our cooking channels. Our building channel, remodeling channels. You know, there's so much stuff on satellite today, half of it ain't even worth watching. But back in the day, when my grandma served the Lord, when she was alive, walking this earth, she read the Bible to me, or we was watching a Billy Graham crusade. That's what we were watching. When I'd go, every time I'd go stay with her, it seemed like that. We're watching Billy Graham again, or Hee Haw. That's all we watched. But listen, I can remember when those football stadiums, those places he was at, how packed they were. It didn't think of it, nothing at the time of it. But I could remember at the end, all those people would come down. Man, there would be hundreds of them. And maybe some of them were just trying to get up there close to him, get an autograph. I don't know. But maybe some of them were up there to receive the Lord through one man. One man. They were thousands packed, hearing the Word of God maybe for the first time, receiving Christ for the very first time. And man, what a revelation. As I got older and now I think back, man, I would love to be able to preach the Word of God to that many people at one time. Why? For my glory? No. You say, preacher, why is it so important for you to preach to that many people at one time? Because I want to see God's hand at work. I want to see God's hand calling out of the burning bush the names of the people that are lost. I want to see the people coming down those aisles right up to the front and repenting of their sins and asking God, asking Jesus Christ to come into their life for the very first time, and then God comes straight in. God don't just, that burning bush, I visualize that burning bush, that burning fire that was from that bush. See, when God comes in, the fire comes in with it. When God comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in with it. And we are empowered with God's words. We are empowered with God's will. And we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that we can't do. And there's nothing that can stop us but ourselves. Amen. That's the only thing that can stop you today from leaving the house of God happy and filled with your cup running over today. The only thing that can stop your cup from being filled today with the joy of the Lord is yourself, by not receiving from the Lord. Amen. That's the only thing. Wow. Listen, I want to close today with a prayer. Maybe you're watching today on Facebook. You know what? I look on Facebook later today. You know, last week they were almost 50 views. Look around you this morning. There's not even 50 people in this church this morning. They were almost 50 views of people watching the sermon last Sunday. And the Sunday before that, it was like 40, between 40 and 45. So you know what that tells me? It tells me that somewhere, somebody is receiving the Word of God. And what a blessing it is that this COVID thing, you know what? We say, what is so good? Anything is good come out of this COVID thing? You're looking at one thing right there. We never went online before. We always dreamed, I always preached about preaching to the lost people, preaching to those that are in bondage. How do you get them in the church? You don't know how many nights I've wrestled with the thoughts in my heart. How do you get people in the church? How do you get them to come through the doors? Do you hire them? Do you put an ad in the paper and say, I'll give you $5 if you come to church? Man, we'd have a church full of people. I'll give you $50. Man, we'd have a standing room in here this morning. There'd be people lined up in the parking lot. 40, 50 people watching online. Is that not a blessing? That's never stepped foot inside this church, possibly. That's never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how many other people's lives do we know that this might have touched somewhere down the road? So I pray to you today that are watching on Facebook or maybe later, if you don't know the Lord today, it'll be a great day to come to know the Lord. It'll be a great day to change your life. It'll be a great day because God's already calling your name. He's already calling you out. He's already wooing your heart. All you got to do is accept that calling. And when you do, God's going to come in. The Holy Spirit's going to come in. Jesus Christ is going to come in. You're going to be saved. You're going to be sanctified. You're going to be set apart for the services of God. And man, it'll be the best decision you ever made. And I want to pray this morning with you on Facebook, and we'll have special prayer here in just a minute. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you this morning for this word. God, it's been just a great time to be here in your house today. Lord, I'm always excited about the Word of God. I'm always excited to be able to preach the message, Heavenly Father. And God, today I just pray to you, Lord, if there be one watching on Facebook today that has never made that decision to accept Christ, Lord, let me just say real quickly, it's very easy. It's very simple to do. It's no long process. There's no long application. There's no waiting period to see if you'll be accepted. You don't have to have a good credit score. Lord, all the Bible says you have to do is confess with your mouth that you are a sinner and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. And Lord, it says in your word that the moment a lost soul truly believes this, he or she is saved, Heavenly Father. So God, I pray if there be one watching today that has never made their decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray today, Lord, today would be that day, God. Lord, let not another day pass by, because, Lord, the Word of God that I read says today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day that we have, Heavenly Father. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow, only today, Lord. Lord, there'll be many people that got up this morning that seen the sun that won't live to see it set. And Lord, we pray today, we not miss an opportunity. And God, there be one today that's watching, that's backslid, Lord, that's walked away from the Lord, slid away from God, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bring them back, Heavenly Father. Lord, let them repent, Heavenly Father, of their sins. And Lord, let them be brought back into the fold, Heavenly Father, while they still have a chance, Heavenly Father. And Lord, recommit their lives to you, Lord, and live unto you, Lord, and in your glory, God. We pray this morning, this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church family, today, I don't know your heart. I don't know how you feel. But I take God serious. You know, I got a wedding coming up pretty soon. I told the young guy, he said, would you do, and now why would he ask me? There's 1,000 preachers out there that would marry someone in a heartbeat. But he asked me. And I told him the only way I'm going to marry him or officiate his wedding, got to do a little counseling. I like people to know what they're getting into. Not to discourage, but let them have some information. I think it's biblically, as a minister, I think it's the right thing to do. They need to know what marriage is about. They need to know it's not just feelings. It's a commitment unto the Lord. It's a vow you take. So I told the boy, I said, I'm going to have to meet with you at least 3 or 4 weeks, talk to you, counsel you a little bit, you and your wife. And he gets all nervous. But you know what? I said, there's nothing to be nervous about. It's going to be okay. Because the Lord wants you to know that the relationship that's being formed is by the hand of God. And it has to be blessed by the hand of God. It has to be sanctified by the hand of God for it to last. And that's why so many marriages don't last. Because they're not sanctified by God. People go into it blindly. But God wants us to have an open vision of who He is and what He's all about and what He wants to do for us. And the only thing really God wants to do for us is bless us. And we really don't have to do anything in return. God said, I want to bless you. I want to pour out my blessings upon you just because you loved my son. And man, what a good bonus that is. Just simply because I love Jesus Christ, God says, I want to bless you. I want to pour out all my love. I want to pour out all that I have. I want to give you my best because I already gave it to you. But I'm going to keep giving it to you. Just going to keep pouring it in you. All right, now the last question I'm going to ask you. You say, man, I hope he's done. Are you glad you got up and came to church today? Did the Lord speak to your heart today? I know He did because I feel it. You need prayer today? You don't know the Lord today? Today would be a great day to come to know the Lord and to accept Him as your Savior. It's one thing to know the Lord, but there's another thing to accept Him as your Savior. I can know about everything I want to know about, but unless I really accept it to my heart, I don't know nothing about it. All I do is I got head knowledge. God wants you to have heart knowledge. That's what God wants. He wants you to have heart knowledge, not just head knowledge. As we sing our final hymn, the Holy Spirit's been here since you walked in. You brought Him with you. If you need anything from the Lord, I want to pray with you before you leave today.